judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge, shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before Him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist. And please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, please grant unto us your forgiveness, your love, your kindness, that we may be changed, that we may have your love in us, and that we may love one another with your law. Bless us in this experience, and bless us in sharing the truth, that others may be blessed, all for our education, for our salvation, and for your glory's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, we are continuing our study on the issues of the day on same-sex marriages. But we want to look at some of the terms that are used by sodomites as propaganda to make us feel guilty or to make us feel as if we are doing something wrong because we speak against what they are doing and reject what they are doing and because we refuse to cooperate with what they are doing. You see, my dear people, these people have learned over a period of time to use certain terms as propaganda, and these terms they have learned to use to mask their deviant sexual practices and to paint them in a light acceptable to the public, so that the public will think that they are being mistreated by people just because people reject what they're doing. Yes, my dear people. They use terms like freedom. They use terms like love. They use terms like equality. They are geniuses in using the term discrimination. They use terms like rights. And they continually use this term homophobia. Until today, it is a dictionary word and a word people think that has substance. So the moment you speak against what they are doing, they say, oh, you are homophobe, meaning somebody that have fear for sodomy. But we want to undo these propaganda terms that they have been using. We want to set them right once and for all. We want you to understand how they should be used so that you would unmask those who are using that term or any of these other terms as if they are something that should be used to cover what they are doing. For instance, they say, we want freedom. We need freedom. We don't have freedom. So they use freedom to identify what they are doing and give the impression that their sexual deviance is freedom. But their freedom is really license or licentiousness from the ancient Roman god Liber, which you call liberty. And it simply means they just want to do what they want to do. But that is not true freedom. Freedom operates within a sphere that does not transgress the rights and freedoms of others. For instance, if we turn to John chapter 8 and we look at verse 32, we read Jesus himself speaking. He said this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." End of quote. If a sodomite wants freedom, he must first know the truth. And the truth speaks to him about what he is doing. Yes, my dear people. So when he says he wants freedom and he wants society to give him this freedom, the point about it, he is a slave to his own lust. He is not yet free. So if he wants freedom, he needs to know the truth, that the truth could make him free. Because when you understand the truth frees you from deception. And when it frees you from deception, that causes you to be able to live and operate in such a way where you would not get into trouble, where you would not harm yourself or others. But the root of all that is knowing the truth. So what a sodomite needs to do is to really know the truth. So when they call freedom, freedom, they don't have freedom. They don't have freedom because they are slaves to their own lusts. And furthermore, since they don't have freedom, and they say they want freedom, they are identifying that freedom as license to do the wrongs that they want to do. They want the state to give them that license. But they are calling that freedom. But freedom comes when you know the truth. Yes, my dear people. Another important point that needs to be understood is that freedom is responsible. Yes, my dear people. Freedom is responsible. It is not irresponsible. Because freedom follows a pattern or a category of law. Yes, my dear people. So, when you have the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments itself is the law of freedom. So when you follow it, you are free from all the enslavements of sin, which includes sodomy. If you read James, and we look at chapter 1, and we look at verse 25, here is what we are told. I quote, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Did you see that? So he must be a doer of the work to be blessed in his deed. But what work? The work outlined in the law of liberty. So here we have the Ten Commandments is identified as the law of liberty. So if they want liberty, if they want freedom, it is found only in obedience to the works of the law. Yes, my dear people. So the liberty they are calling for is not real liberty. It is license to do wrong. But they give us the impression that we are hindering their liberty. But nobody is hindering their liberty. They don't have liberty. But if they want liberty, they need to know the truth and they need to follow the responsible liberty, which is the Ten Commandments. Yes, my dear people. And the Ten Commandments forbid sodomy. When the Bible tells us that the seventh clause of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," the word adultery there is not the actual word. The word is porneo, and it means all kinds of sexual crimes. It includes adultery. It includes premarital sex. It includes sodomy. It includes all sorts of sexual abuse. Yes, my dear people. It also includes having relations with animals. And so that clause forbids all those. So if a sodomite says that he wants liberty, liberty has a certain restraint. Liberty has a certain pattern. And it is a pattern of works with responsibility. That is true liberty. Yes, my dear people. Now, another thing they have been doing is calling sodomy love. You hear the President of the United States saying, if they love one another, love triumph and all these sort of things. And you see a lot of sodomites put up the sign of love. They're giving the impression that what they're doing is love. So they're telling us love triumphs. And so what they're doing, they're identifying that as love. But that is not love. You don't call that love. Sodomy is not love. And sodomites does not have love in their midst. Yes, my dear people, you don't call that love. What the Bible does call that is lust. Yes, my dear people. So when they call it love, the Bible actually calls it lust. Yes, my dear people. If we look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 27, here is what we are told. I quote, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly." Notice what we are told, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So as far as the Bible is concerned, as far as God is concerned, what they have is not love, what they have is lust. But they use the term love to give people the impression, oh, you are against love. Being against a man with a man and a woman with a woman as marriage is not being against love, it's being against lust. And what you're doing, you're taking the sacred institution of marriage and perverting it in such a way and calling it love, when it is not love, but lust. And they say love and commitment, they always say that, but it is not love, it is lust, as your Bible tells you here. Because when it comes to love, the Bible clearly tells us that love does not behave in such a way as they behave. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we look at verse 4 and verse 5, it clearly tells us why what they do is not love. Now here is what we are told in these verses here. We read from verse 4 and then we'll read verse 5. I quote, "Charity." Now the word charity is the Greek word agape, and that means love. So when it says charity here, the actual word is love. So I'm going to read it according to the actual Greek word love. I quote, "Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." Notice this, "is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not provoked easily, thinketh no evil." End of quote. Did you see that? But we are told love does not behave itself unseemly. But we read in Romans, when God gave them up to their lust, they did those things which were unseemly. So it is lust that makes them behave unseemly, which is their sexual behavior. Love does not make them behave unseemly. So what they have is not love, not in the least way. But they categorize it in that way to make us feel that we are going against love. Now if we look at 1 John chapter 4, and we read verse 7 and verse 8, this clearly shows us why sodomites don't have love. They do not have love. Verse 7 tells us, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." End of quote. Did you see that, my dear people? In other words, what we are being told, we are to love one another, for love is of God. You see, sodomites need to know that love is not something human beings invented. Love is not something two persons could just feel and get together with. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. It takes the new birth. It takes justification to have genuine love. So when a person have love, they are born of God. Right? And when you are born of God, you love God. You love your fellow men also. But you cannot be loving God and be transgressing His law with your lust. And this is the reason why we are told, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So sodomites don't know God, because they are not loving. What they have is lust, which they call love. But it is only lust, it is not love. And this is the reason why what they do, they must give it up and become justified. Because justification is the answer for sodomy. Sodomy ends when a person is justified. Justification changes the sodomite into a Christian giving up his sodomy. Yes, my dear people. Our next phrase they love to use is the phrase equality. They call it marriage equality, although that what they call marriage is not equal with true marriage. But they like to call it equality. Now, first of all, what they have is not equality. The Bible identifies equality as something that exists between two genders, male and female. When you have a male gender and a female gender, both are equal. That's how the Bible identifies equality. The man is not above the woman, neither the woman above the man, but both are equal. So equality exists among the two genders. That's what the Bible tells us. You cannot be a sodomite and be balling. You want equality, because what you have is unnatural and it can't be equal. But as a male gender, you're already equal to other men, and as a female gender, you're already equal to other women. So you already have equality of gender. And that's how equality is identified in the Bible. If we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, here is what we are told, I quote, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Let's just stop here. What do we see here? Equality between the genders mean a male must be able to have sexual intercourse with a woman and she produce child. Now a person will say, well, some cannot produce children because they are infertile, etc. Right, that is true. That is a malfunction. But naturally speaking, equality is identified as the two genders, whereby you can take one gender to inseminate another gender to create offspring. Now a male cannot do that with a male, and a woman cannot do that with a woman. So there's no equality there. There's nothing there about equality. But you keep using the term equality in such a way to give the impression somebody's robbing you of some equality. Nobody's robbing you of equality. You don't have equality just with what you're doing. But when it comes to gender, you have equality already. Yes, my dear people. If we go further to Genesis chapter 2, we will read verse 18 and then we'll read 21 and 24. I quote verse 18. "And Yahweh God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Did you see that? God will make him a helpmeet for him. This was somebody who was supposed to be equal with Adam. Now when we go down and we read verse 21 to 24, here is what we are told. "And Yahweh God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." End of quote. Did you see that? So what do we have here? We have, look at the equality. God causes Adam to sleep. God takes a rib from his side and he makes a woman and brings the woman unto the man. Now, why did you think that God took a rib from his side? He could have taken a bone piece from his head or from his foot or from his hand, but he took it from his side. Because this means that man and woman are supposed to be equal on the same horizontal level with each other. Yes, my dear people. So equality exists in the genders. Woman, man, those are equality. In other words, if you had only male genders alone, that would be unequal. If you had only female genders alone, that would be unequal. You only have equality when you have male and female. Yes, my dear people. And this is the reason why together they can produce. And this equality can only be manifested in this type of marriage. This marriage which was invented by God before there were any Supreme Court justices in the United States. And this marriage which was invented by God before sin. This is the reason why 5 Supreme Court justices, 4 Jews and 1 liberal Catholic cannot redefine marriage for 50 states, for millions of people or for the world. Because marriage was created by God and not by man. And marriage is supposed to exist between the two genders, male and female. And that's what you call equality. And this is the reason why Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, if we read from verse 5 to verse 9, further emphasized this. I quote, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." Here Jesus speaking. You say you believe in Jesus? Well, then here Jesus is speaking. He says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder." End of quote. Did you see that? So this clearly shows us the twain is now become one. So equality is between male and female. And that male and female equality is the one. And Christ identified them as husband and wife. And he says what God joined together. Therefore, marriage is a divine institution and only God can join people together. So when the state is doing it with two people, male and female, God recognizes that. But if the state does it with man and man, God doesn't recognize that because there's no equality there. So they cry equality, they bawl equality, but there's no equality there. Yes, my dear people. Another term they like to cry out for is discrimination. Often you hear them bawling, discrimination. You're practicing discrimination against us. But it is not a wrong thing to practice discrimination against sodomy or a sodomite. All of us are supposed to have discrimination. Would you allow a pedophile to come in your home and treat him equal with everybody in the home, knowing that he can seduce your daughter or rape your little boy? No, but you have to have discrimination, which is judgment in this matter. Here is how the Bible tells us we must have discrimination. And discrimination must make us see evil for what it is and good for what it is, so that we cannot partake of the evil of sodomy. Neither making a cake for them to encourage them in their wrong, or to let them rent your hall to encourage them in their wrong. You cannot do that. If you look at Malachi chapter 3 in verse 18, here is what we are told. I quote, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." End of quote. Clearly, sodomites are not serving God, because in sodomy you're practicing sin. And you're supposed to discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Like, for instance, there may be a husband and wife, and they may not be Christians. But what they are doing in marriage there, when they're getting married, is not sin, because it is not a sin to marry. But if it is a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, you know what they're doing is evil. So we cannot cooperate. You must discern the difference between the good and the evil, and you must identify that as good. Here is what Ephesians chapter 5, 9 to 11 tells us. I quote, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Did you see that? So it must prove what is acceptable unto God when you have the Holy Spirit. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Did you see that? So you see, no law must make you or force you to have fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. You must be able to reprove them. And this is why the Bible is telling us here, you must have discrimination with regards to sodomy. When you see them practicing it, reprove them. You do not cooperate with it. Have no part with these unfruitful works of darkness. That's what we're being told. But reprove them. So according to the Bible, you must make a discrimination. You must make a judgment between those who are serving God and those who are serving Him not. And evidently, you cannot be a sodomite and be serving God, because God created marriage, and it was never between Adam and Steve. It was between Adam and Eve. Yes, my dear people. And this is the reason why you have to do that. Now, they also bawl rights and all kind of rights, and they want their own rights, and they need gay rights. They also bawl this. But what they're looking for is not rights. Rights are within the constraints of the law of God, and sodomy is against the law of God. You cannot have a right to practice wrong. One doesn't have a right to practice adultery, or a right to practice pedophilia, or a right to practice homosexuality. Those are not rights. Rights are within the constraints of the law of God. Yes, my dear people, if you look at Romans chapter 13 quickly here, you would see what the Bible tells us about this from verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So, when you love somebody, you fulfill the law. Yes, my dear people. So love is within the constraint of fulfilling the law. And that is owing somebody. We owe one another relating to them with the law of God. That's why this is your right. Your right is to love your fellow men and to love God. So you owe loving your fellow men. You owe relating to him with the law of God. Yes, my dear people. And this is why sodomy cannot be a right. But we have to look at this thing even more again. Because we do not only have to look at that. We also have to look at the word homophobia. And we will talk about that in our next program. Because what they are giving us the impression is as if we are doing wrong. They use a lot of propaganda terms to make Christian think they are doing something wrong. To make us think that we are in transgression. That's why they do that. But they are wrong, my dear people. We are not doing wrong in what we are doing. They are doing wrong. So do not be fooled by their propaganda phrases, their propaganda terms, to deceive you. Use the truth upon them. They bring their rainbow flag. What do you do? When they bring their rainbow flag, you bring your family flag, as Russia has now begun to do. So until then, may God bless you. Until we meet again, in Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life Read broadcast. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123. That's 528-2123 or 531-7558. We do look forward for you joining us again next week when we present to you another edition of Escape for Thy Life. Until next time, may God bless you.
The judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day when every thought